Are you comfortable freestyling something?
Oh, hell no, I'm not a rapper. I would need to be really drunk. No, I'm a DJ. I'm not a rapper. No.
I feel like you almost freestyle open people's well, you know, when you open up and introduce an MC and you know,
I mean, I could do a drop for you and like where I'm like, hey, this is me, and blah, 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 blah. I'm here with
take it up, town. My nigga DJ
East
J.
Coast.
You know what it is? Hey, snatch from the heavens, on reality, your physical form. Fighting for survival, your idea was never even pure. I condemn you. Mercury tips, whistle, and hit you. Here's the issue. Y'all said it burns to the crystal, so official. Study Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu, he's the future. Cheap 10, Mac, Apple computer, keep a Ruger. Hopefully, y'all won't have to split your medulla, your egg, Hoover maneuvered in the.
What up? It's DJ J. Rowland, the All Elements General. Brooklyn, New York, always in the building. And right now, I'm with the Gossip Nista podcast with Mariana. Check it out. Subscribe on everything, on every platform. Show that love. Support it, y'all. We here, man. Follow me on everything. Show some love, y'all.
Gossip Nista here, your one and only source into the real lives of New Yorkers and what it's like to live in New York City. So is it all glitz and glamour? Where do you start? What should you know? And who am I? I'll tell you everything you need to know, and you'll thank me for it. XOXO, Gossip Nista. Hey, welcome. Oh my goodness. So I was just schooled, learned what a drop was versus freestyling. Obviously, a DJ doesn't freestyle. Well, some, you know, but anyhow, welcome to the Gossip Nista podcast. I'm your host, Mariana Monks. We are on episode 41, and my guest today is none other than DJ J. Ronan, who has been a staple of the hip hop community since its beginnings in the 80s and 90s, and is really involved with it till this day. I am so excited for our conversation. And what you just heard there was one of his mixes. It's called Freestyle Files Volume 2. He is working on Volume 3, which he'll briefly talk about here. We are going to get into so much New York culture and hip hop and just everything that is the essence of New York City. And generally, you know, I actually write these intros. I kind of script them a little. I am freestyling it. And by freestyling, I mean, you know, not rapping here. I am just talking and, you know, going with the flow. But yeah, I hope you enjoy this episode. We're going to get into a lot of greatness here. Happy birthday, DJ Ronan. When this episode has dropped, it is September 21st, and it is his birthday. Not only that, but it's National New York Day. So mark it on your calendars, people. September 21st is National New York Day and DJ Ronan's birthday. So without further ado, let's get into my interview with Jonathan Marvin, AKA DJ J. Ronan. Hey there, DJ Ronan. I am so happy to have you on the podcast. I know we have a little bit of history, like, and we'll dive into that, but how are you today?
I'm all right. I like to stay busy and keep on keeping on. And I've got some great news about some big gigs coming up.
Happy to hear that. Happy to have you. Very thankful. I know it's a long time coming, so here we are. And appreciate your time. We're going to dive into so much. We're going to dive into the martial arts, your DJing. Let's talk about your New York story. That's kind of where I like to start off. But before even that, I'd love to kind of, you know, introduce the listeners to how we met, the story of how we met. And, you know, I'm always talking about it. I feel like I told you it recently, but I'd like to hear it from your perspective, and then I'll kind of fill in any blanks.
Okay. My perspective, I was on the train. I think it was the 2 train, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I saw this lady who looked very nice and friendly, and she looked lost. Like, like, where am I going? I don't know. Like, just very lost. Like, oh my God, lost. Me, as someone who's very street smart, I don't like to see people looking lost because that makes them a target. You know, I'm from an older era of New York City where it was a little more crazy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nowadays kids just scam and they don't really rob people as much. You know, it's not, well, still some, but not as bad. So I said, oh, you know what? She looks like she needs help. Let me come talk to her. And I said, hey, are you okay? You look a little lost. You need help getting where you need to go. And we just started talking from there. You said you did a podcast and I told you I was a DJ in the music business. And you said your husband was really into underground hip hop, which I'm very involved with.
Yep. And oh my gosh.
That's my perspective. So what was your perspective?
You remember a lot. So I don't kudos to you.
I remember it's good. I don't smoke weed.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I'm not against it. You know, it's legal now. Great. Beautiful thing. You know, it's decriminalized. That's wonderful.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No. And wow. So you said it perfectly. I think, like you said, I was on the train. Maybe we just come into the train. I look lost as can be. Right. And I'm thinking I may be approached you because you know, and asked you like, hey, like, how do I get here? Where do I go there? Or maybe like you just thought I looked completely lost, which was probably more the case.
Yeah, I don't know who approached you. I thought I approached you, but I'm not sure.
Whatever it was, you know, you were friendly enough to kind of, you know, talk to me and guide me and like tell me, you know, where the hell I was going. I was somewhere, I think, heading towards somewhere in Brooklyn near the Flatbush area, right? And I had never actually ventured that way. I was looking for apartments at that time. And so, yeah, and we started talking. I think you were on that, you were across from me on the subway sitting on that side and I was on this side. We were just like chatting. And I was being in California, I was like, oh, is this like okay? Like, can we just chat across the room? I didn't know if I should sit by you, but
oh, it's okay.
It was a very New York centric moment, in my opinion.
I try to give people their personal space, especially if I don't know them, you know.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And you defy.
To talk on the, across from each other on the train and people stand in the middle and you're like trying to switch on.
It wasn't a busy train.
Yeah.
It wasn't a busy train. And, you know, really you defy all stereotypes of like New Yorkers being mean and they're not helping you and you can't ask them for directions. You're like completely the opposite. And that like really was, you know, humbling and very nice to see.
It's not a true stereotype. I think a lot of New Yorkers will help people. I would say that stereotype exists worse in London and Paris, in my opinion, from my experience.
What are the stereotypes there? Now I'm curious. No,
it's not just of them not being nice to tourists or people who are lost. I've been lost in London and Paris and people are not very nice.
Oh, wow. I haven't been. So I'm curious to kind of, well, I don't want to experience that. Nobody should experience that, you know, but
it's better when you can speak French. My French is terrible. So.
Yeah, no, I do know the stereotype of the, you know, French being a little on the more snobby side. I'm going to say it.
I have a lot of French friends, though.
You're not going to say nothing. Okay, no worries. So perfect. That is how we met, everyone. I wanted to share that because, you know, this is how we connected off of the two train, you know, me being lost, just coming into the city, and we kept in touch. And so, you know, the first question that I'm going to dive into that I start with your New York story is, are you a native? Are you originally from here?
Yes, I'm a very proud native New Yorker, native Brooklynite, born and raised in Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, and I grew up around, you know, Caribbean people, hip hop, Americans, Latinos, everything, the melting pot.
Yeah.
I had friends from every walk of life, every religion, and it's been great, you know.
Flatbush, Brooklyn, you said, so Brooklynite, and you know, and you kind of mentioned you grew up in a melting pot here. Like overall, what has your experience been growing up as a native New Yorker, like outside of the culture and just like just everything?
I guess it was great. Like on my block, there was a Filipino family, a Japanese family, a Puerto Rican family, a Black family, Irish, Italian, Jewish. So just you know, that multiculturalism and being raised to respect everyone and not judge people, you know, in any kind of way. So much art and culture here, you know. Hip hop started in New York. Punk rock started in New York. Modern graffiti culture started in New York.
Wow.
Just you know, so much, and just being around that as a kid in the 80s, there was definitely a lot of crime. It was worse back then, a lot of gunshots, a lot of gang violence, the crack epidemic, and the heroin epidemic before, that was before my time though. So, you know, there was a lot of families who were kind of broken, and people were drug addicts and getting locked up. And I saw a lot of struggle and poverty with friends of mine around me. Thankfully, my family, my immediate family always, you know, was on point.
Yeah.
My mother was a school teacher. My father worked for the Queens DA's office.
Okay.
And, you know, they worked hard and they provided, and I didn't have to struggle in that way.
Oh, wow. But, so you grew up in the era of, you know, New York in the 80s, the 90s, where there was a lot going on. So you've seen it evolve and change. But I love how, you know, like the multiculturalism was always a part of your upbringing and you respect that. And, you know, that is what New York is. So I love that. And so have you always lived in Flatbush in Brooklyn? Have you left or outside of there?
Yes, I have left. I lived in Spanish Harlem for 2 years.
Okay.
That was 2004, 2006. And then I went to SUNY Purchase College before that. And I lived on the dorm for about a year and a half. That's in Chester County by White Plains. And that was very different. And then, you know, I've traveled a lot. I've stayed places for months. I've stayed in Melbourne, Australia. I've stayed in London. I've stayed in Paris. I've been around the world a lot, but I still love New York. It's still my favorite place to be. It's not the same in many ways, but there's still that spirit is still there. The art, the culture, the music, the people, the neighborhoods. You know, it has gentrification, messed a lot of things up, sure. You know, the rent is too damn high, like people always say.
Now, when you say it's not the there, same, like what are you referencing? Are you referencing that artistic age of like the 90s, 80s, the graffiti, the hip hop, the like, what is it?
Yeah, some of it. That's part of it. This might sound crazy, but it's less violent. And a part of me, I like the adventure, which is a little bit ignorant in a way. The danger, a part of me like that. But as I'm getting older and I'm planning to have a family with me and my wife, Oni, I don't want my kids to experience that same level of craziness that I did. So I understand that. But it bothers me when people come and they move here, they're visiting here, and they act like they own the place, very arrogant, and they act like nothing could happen to them on the subway, on the street. And I'm a firm believer of everyone in the world should get punched in the face really hard at least once, just once. But it humbles us in a way. I don't want people to be fearful, but it's just, I don't know, maybe that's just the asshole Brooklyn in me. I mean, I'm a good guy overall, but it just sometimes
something's sparking like, you here. Like, who is it or what is it? I mean, be like real.
I just see people in the streets so rude to people nowadays, rude to elders, rude to kids, rude to people in general. And, you know, I feel like, you know, everyone needs martial arts in their life to become a better person. I really do feel that way.
You just leave it there.
You know, me as a kid, you know, you learn to fight early, and you know, that's part of life. It's part of becoming, growing up. And you know, I'm meeting kids now who are from so-called rough projects in Brooklyn who've never been to fight in their life. And they don't know how to defend themselves, and they're kind of sheltered. And, you know, it's good they haven't had too much violence in their life and trauma. And that's a good thing. But know how to defend yourself, you know. And, you know, it's just not as rough. And it's better for a lot of people, but, you know, it's...
Yeah, you feel like there's some lessons that should come within that. And I feel like it's like the martial artist in you speaking in that sense of, you know, kind of really... Everyone
and the Brooklyn night too.
Yes, but I love the, you know, realness that you're bringing to this, and appreciate that. So thank you.
I mean, it sounds crazy. The comments are like, "Oh, I don't want to get punched in the face. What's wrong with this guy? He's freaking nuts."
No, I get it. You are. I was like the nicest person that I've yet to meet in New York. I would say that, you know, to an extent. So yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah, it's just I'm sure you see it when you're traveling around. It's people being so rude to each other, and when I was younger, people would do that, but there were consequences. You might get punched in your face on the train and street. And so some people were kind of like, you know what? Let me chill out. Let me be a little more respectful because I don't want to get slapped.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And so, you know, for those that don't say no Flatbush, what else would you kind of, you know, paint a picture for those?
Working the middle class, definitely Black African-American, but very Caribbean as well. Okay. It's a large Jamaican community, Haitian, Trinidadian, and all the other islands as well. Panamanian as well.
Okay.
Guyanese, even though they're technically in Central and South America, they're more Caribbean culturally.
Mm. And what's your favorite thing to do in Flatbush? Like, what do you love there?
I love the food. You know, I love Jamaican food, Guyanese, Trini food. You know, oxtails and jerk chicken. Ooh. And
I've never had that. So where's your best Flatbush restaurant?
Well, it depends. I love jerk chicken from Fisherman's Cove or Peppa's. I love the curry goat from McBean's. The more Guyanese style. Roti from, what's the name of the spot? Bacon things.
Okay.
I love, you know, a good boneless beef curry or chicken curry, roti with potatoes and a wrap.
You're making me hungry here, Jay Ronan. Like, let's not talk food anymore. Thank you for sharing that.
But I love that. I love, you know, going to parties, I used to really love going to my friend's barbershop. And I would just, he would chip in on a bottle and watch a game and just talk. And that was like the place to be. Then sadly, that barbershop's no longer here. But that was a major staple in the community. Oh, wow. And there's not really any one barbershop that's really taking its spot. Mm-hmm. Everyone's kind of spread out. Mm-hmm. On top of that, just going to Prospect Park, walking to the park. I love playing sports there as a kid, soccer, baseball, football.
Because Prospect Park, it's like right under, it's like a southeast, right? A Flatbush.
Right.
Like it's right there.
Right. Yeah. It's right there.
Okay.
And I grew up right by the park. You know, a lot of little clubs and spots growing up. There's a lot of reggae parties, dance hall parties.
Got to check out Flatbush. I mean, you setting a house, it sounds fine.
Okay. Yeah.
So then your general overview of New York City, like, what do you like and dislike about New York? Like, specific things that you like and dislike about New York.
I like that there are a million worlds to get into. So you can be in different corners of the hip hop world. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, the art world, the graffiti world, There's so many different things in the martial arts world. Anything you want to do. There is the biggest city in America, population-wise. Mm-hmm. Everything is here. Anything you need to get, you need to buy, you know, obviously before Amazon and all that stuff.
Right.
If things aren't going well for you in one corner of the world, of New York, you can go somewhere else. And not necessarily geographically, but the circle of people you're around. There's so many different circles that, you know, there's so much variety. You can get whatever you want here.
Yep, that's what people come for. That's a great point. What do you dislike?
What I dislike? I dislike the rent being too high. Mm-hmm. My one-bedroom apartment before I had got my duplex now. I had a friend in Atlanta, in a rough part of Atlanta.
Okay.
But still, he had a whole multi-bedroom house and backyard for the price I was paying for a one-bedroom apartment in Flatbush.
Yeah,
my block was quiet in Flatbush, but it was crazy.
When you look outside of New York, the world is so much cheaper. I mean, except LA and San Francisco, but yeah, there's a lot more reasonable places. Yeah, that's the number one thing I hear all the time that the people dislike about New York. And so anything else here that, you know, before moving on to the next question, you don't have to like or dislike much more.
The gentrification. I don't like seeing people move to a neighborhood, not respecting the neighborhood's history and roots and culture, not supporting the local businesses, and not caring about the people there. And just like they come there, like, oh, I can afford the rent here, and they help make the rent go higher for a lot of people. And then seeing people get pushed out who have been in the neighborhood sometimes for generations.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you know, it hurts to see certain buildings where I knew everybody in these buildings, and now I don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. Or even, you know, people couldn't keep up with the property tax.
Yep.
On brownstones that they had in their family for 100 years, and the bank took it and sold it to someone else.
That is disheartening to hear. Yeah. So thank you for kind of shedding light on that. Yeah. And that's a major dislike, right? Disadvantage for a lot of people. And so, with that kind of being mentioned and said, like, how do you think COVID and what happened? And I know we're still kind of in it, you know, there's a whole new Delta variant. There's a lot of still shift and changes, but how do you think that like changed New York? Cause I mean, you're born here, you've been here, you've seen a lot of change, but what did this do?
It hurt a lot of businesses. A lot of restaurants closed down, a lot of bars closed down, mm-hmm. a lot of clubs and venues for live music closed down. So many people were unemployed. A lot of people were out of work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are social people. So it really hurt people's social interactions. I think it damaged a lot of people psychologically around the world, you know, not being able to see all your friends and loved ones and your elders. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not having, you know, I'm here with my wife and our kitty cats, mm-hmm. and you know, I got vaccinated, so you know, I'm a little more free to move how I want to move for the most part. But the first 6 months or more, you know, I was fairly isolated most of the time. I stopped, you know, I wasn't DJing any events. I stopped recording people in my studio. Mm-hmm. I got a home studio, mm-hmm. and you know, I saw a lot of people struggling. A lot of lonely people.
Yeah.
Having a hard time. Even now, I in the street, I see people breaking down and freaking out. Mm. You know, a lot of people are hurting mentally, physically, spiritually in different ways. A lot of people got fatter. I wasn't working out as much. I'm down 12 pounds, but
good for you.
I got to lose like 100 more.
No, so. I mean, they called it the COVID 15, 20. I mean, I gained some weight. I mean, that's all we did was sat around and ate, right? And like Netflix or whatever it was.
Netflix, watching TV. I started gaming again. I stopped playing video games for a long time. Mm. So I came back to that. I was playing World of Warcraft.
Oh, no, I'm sure your wife wasn't too happy about that, or was she?
At first, but then I got her playing too.
There you go. An interaction between the two. I love that. Well,
playing together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Both on our laptops, just kicking butt.
Oh my gosh, that's fun. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing, you know, kind of what was going on there with COVID. Now, this is a question I really want to ask you because you're a native New Yorker, and it's a question I ask all my listeners, I mean, all my guests, but it's, mm-hmm. you know, so what do you think it means to be a real New Yorker? So there's a lot of debate on this, and please sound off as a native.
Okay. Some people will say you've had to have gone to high school in New York City. Mm-hmm. And for me, I have a few rules of being a New Yorker. Mm-hmm. You have to live in New York City for 10 years minimum, mm-hmm. and be actively a part of New York City culture. Have friends from New York City, have a social circle from New York City, mm-hmm. you know, be involved in your community. Know your neighbors. Be friendly with your neighbors. Go to cookouts and barbecues in the summertime. Be a part of some kind of scene, whether it's, you know, art, hip hop, mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Like be an active participant in the city. Don't just, I got my house here, I go to work, and that's it. And F everybody, you know, I don't care.
Right.
So 10 years living in New York and being a real part of the city. Mm. And not dictating to everyone else how it's going to be, and just okay, this is how the things are done here. All right, let me be a part of my community and add on and not try to take away. Like you don't want to be like those people who call the cops on Spike Lee's father, mm-hmm. who's a bass player. He plays upright bass, like uh-huh. jazz bass. Uh-huh. He's playing in his brownstone he's had since forever in Fort Greene, and some new neighbor called the cops on him.
Oh wow.
Oh, he was playing a bass too loud. And
yeah, I mean, you don't come to New York not to hear these, you know, musicians, noises and so forth. So like take a chill pill. But
yeah, I mean, you know, people shouldn't be making too much noise after like 10 o'clock. But don't call the cops for people making noise at 8 o'clock at night. Come on.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Calling the cops. You can knock on the door. Okay. So I do appreciate you kind of noting that. I love that you said, you know, you should be an active participant of the community. I'm a little disheartened that I have to put in 10 years into New York being a newbie.
Sorry.
You know, no, it's okay.
Sorry. You know, how many years has it been for you now?
It's like a year and a half. I got a long way, but.
All right. You got it. It's all right. You'll get there.
It's interesting to hear that some people say like you have to be in high school in New York. I never heard that one. Like, where did that come from?
That's just like being raised here, being that level of socialization here. Because it's, you know, when you're an adult already, it's not the same thing as, you know, you can kind of live your life and kind of just cut people off and your own little, you know, your own little box. And when you're a kid, you can't do that. You gotta go to school. Yeah. You gotta deal with a lot of people.
I
think that's what it comes from.
That makes sense. Like, it's more formative. Like, it helps you become who you are, and like more than New York centric. Right.
I went to a lot of high schools.
Huh? You went to a lot of high schools?
Got kicked out of a few.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, you're born in New York, right? So, I mean, Flatbush. So you are officially. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. And so kind of moving along with regards to your story and wrapping it up, because definitely want to get into your, you know, your DJing career, your multifaceted career.
I'm not in a rush. We're here.
All right, cool. All right. So I am wondering if you have like any moments that you've thought to yourself that I'm like, you're like, shit, like this could only happen in New York. It wouldn't happen anywhere else in this world. Like, moments that are New York centric.
I mean, there's so many.
I mean, a native, like, you maybe don't even think this way. Like, it's just life.
Right.
But
right.
Like, for people who are not, they always have this moment, whether it's walking down a street and it's brownstones or a subway. Yeah something like that.
I mean, that's part of it. Going to park jams in New York City, where they have people DJing and all the live music we have all the time, and amazing world famous Grammy award winning artists perform free shows for the people. That's one. When you said that, I had a memory of going to a Rakim show on West 8th Street and then him hanging out with us for about an hour or two after the show and going to Grace Papaya, which is not here anymore, the hot dog spot. And you don't eat pork, of course. You know, he's the god. He's a 5%er, so he doesn't eat pork. But we had the beef hot dogs. And me and him just talking about life for like 2 hours after the show. And, you know, for me, everyone is here. So all these hip hop and even other artists, jazz, soul, funk, rock, knowing all these artists on a personal level that I grew up with by being an active participant in the music scene in New York City. So just all these artists that I grew up with coming over to my house to work in my studio or doing concerts with them. That's only in New York. You went, or maybe probably LA too, but only like big cities would that happen.
No, I mean, you know? What you just described, going to the Rakim, you know, concert, having hot dogs at a hot dog location afterwards, that is only in New York, and like, you know, hanging and chilling with him afterwards. Like, ain't nobody gonna go get a hot dog with anyone in LA, you know?
I remember another one, I just random New York story. We were at, I think it's currently the PlayStation Theater, but at the time they have different corporate sponsors. So the name changes, but it's a big venue in Midtown Manhattan. And it was a Wu-Tang show. And for some reason I went out to get some air and Method Man went along with me. So it was me, Method Man, and my artist, my friend, my partner, Saf Kills. And we went by one of these photography booths outside, you know, they charge you for photos in Times Square. And he's like, oh my God, Method Man. And the guy was freaking out. And I somehow worked it out. So he took a picture of Method Man. He had it for like his portfolio. And then me and Sav got a free photo, like enlarged, like fancy looking photo. But it was just Method Man hanging out with us in Times Square, around 1,000,001 fans, no security. You know, we were there with him, so you know, nothing was going to happen.
Wow. But, that's crazy. You have too many stories about knowing the hip-hop culture and, you know, like big, you know, celebrities and icons of it, you know. So we're going to dive into that. And thank you for sharing that and the Rakim story. And so those were amazing stories. Now,
because my podcast is focused to continue enriching the lives of current New Yorkers, but also right. those looking to move into the city. I'm curious if you have any tips for someone who is looking to make the move to the city.
Make the move to the city?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do a little research on the neighborhood that you might move into and know a little bit about its history. And I, like I said, be a part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Find out, you know, what, you know, if you know what field you're working in, you know, just make sure you network. And come to me if you need food spots. I got a million and one. I should do a blog just on food spots.
Oh my gosh.
Especially in Brooklyn.
Really?
But Manhattan too.
You're the go-to person. Okay, awesome. That was good. Like, do your research. I think that's very much needed and appreciated. I don't think most people understand. Like,
and be street smart. be respectful. Be humble. You know, and that's okay. It's okay not to know everything, but you know, you'll learn.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And tell them not to look like a deer in the headlight with the, like myself.
Yeah. Oh man. I got a funny story about that.
Okay.
So Sean Price, rest in peace, legendary rapper.
Mm-hmm.
He had a show in Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
and it was also a baby shower for his daughter, and fans brought gifts for his daughter.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool. But then he had the real baby shower in the hood in Brownsville. And these two fans that flew in from Germany to come to the show, mm-hmm. he invited them to come to Brownsville.
Right.
And this is like, I want to say 2008, maybe.
Okay.
So it's still, Brownsville's not quite as rough as it used to be, mm-hmm. but back then it was still mm-hmm. pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So they come to the baby shower, and Sean's mother-in-law is like ordering them around, making them do stuff like they're hired help. It was really funny, these two German guys. But then at night, they're leaving and they're going back to the train, and they look so lost. They look like, you know, that German kid in The Simpsons. Oh, I'm full of chocolate. Like,
yeah. I know what you're talking about.
They just look like food mm-hmm. to, and I saw the wolves looking at them, like mm-hmm. licking their lips, like, we're going to get these guys. Mm-hmm. We're going to rob them. And they were about a half a block away from me and my crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw them and I saw these, they're about to get robbed. And I said, you know what? Let's speed up. And we got to them. I'm like, they're with us. Hold on, relax.
Yeah.
And we escorted them to the train and we got them home.
Oh my gosh. You're a subway saver.
Be careful where you are at night, especially, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's when the nocturnal predators come out.
Mm.
Oh.
Perfectly said. And yeah, I love. Yeah. Okay. There you go. I noted. I learned that. I've never been that since I've met you. So now, you know, not that native New Yorkers like yourself need any advice or anything, but if you had any words to say to them, like, what would you say? Like, given just anything, everything that's changed with New York, COVID, anything, any.
Get vaccinated, please. You know, I know people in third world countries that wish they could be vaccinated. And they get very mad at people who refuse to do it. You know, it's a very much a first world privilege to, oh, I don't need it. Yeah, maybe I'll get my grandma sick and get her killed. Like, come on, care. It's not just about you. Okay, maybe you can get COVID and you'll be all right in a week.
Mm-hmm.
But what about your elders and your family? Be responsible for everyone around you. That's one. Two, be street smart. If you wear your headphones, have one phone off. Be aware of your surroundings.
Mm.
In the street and on the train,
mm-hmm.
there's some weirdos and sickos out there.
Oh wow, good advice, and I really appreciate the, you know,
in the phone as well, like be aware of.
Yes, 100%. But the get vaccinated, you know, and you know, think about not only yourself but those around you. You know, key, yeah. Perfect way to kind of end that with regards for New Yorkers to do that, right? And so, thank you so much, Jay Ronan, for everything you shared with regards to your New York story. I could talk about this all day, but I'm going to sum it up with one last question. And this is one I sent you ahead of time because I know it like stops people in their tracks. And it's like, if you were to sum up New York into your own personal quotes or one that already lives out there in the universe, what would that quote be? Like, what's your New York quote?
I'm thinking of the song Empire State of Mind with Alicia Keys. Mm-hmm. How'd the hook go?
I don't know. Sing it for me.
Oh, no, you owe me. Listen to that song.
Okay.
It's just the hook. You know, it's just very inspiring, you know, where dreams are made of and all that.
Mm, okay. Yes. New York.
Not the song, New York, New York, you know.
Okay. So you're giving us two songs to reference in the New York, you know. Those
I'm going to use that.
Those are two classics. So love that. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. So is there anything here that I left off that you'd want to kind of, you know, with regards to your New York story add before we move on to the second segment?
No, not really. I think, okay. I mean, I don't want to talk about, you know, too much craziness, yeah. But,
yeah. All right. No worries.
I love my city. It's the greatest city in the world. I love it to death, you know.
New York, New York, baby. Yeah.
I love it so much. Defend New York. Defend Brooklyn from the craziness, okay?
Amen.
Gossipnista here. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. I wanted to hop in here to ask that if you haven't yet, if you could please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen. This will help me reach more people and spread the word about New York City and those who love it. And if you want to stay up to date, be sure to follow at Gossipnista Podcast on Instagram. Now, back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jay, for sharing all that information regarding your New York story. We're going to move into the second segment. And just right off the bat, you're a man of many skills and hustles. I mean, you're not only do you do recording, DJing, hosting, producing, managing, and so much other things. You know, assuming it all began with DJing and being connected to some of the biggest hip hop artists of the East Coast, which you've already mentioned, like Wu-Tang, amongst many others. Right. Let's dive into that. Your various ventures and, you know, anything new that you may be having that's coming up. But let me just quickly note, I just saw you recently. I know you noted in the first segment, you talked about those concerts that New York has in the parks. Right. I just saw you for the first time DJing, opening up for GZA and Funk Flex over at the JBL Summer Concert in Central Park. That was so amazing to see.
Right.
Your set was awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, I mean,
yeah, that was great. I just wish it didn't rain that day. It literally rained on my parade.
Mm-hmm.
Because my set was supposed to be 2 hours long. Funkmaster Flex's set was 2 hours.
Mm.
And then Jesus' set got cut short. Mm-hmm. And he had Raekwon coming out to do Cream. And that's when they pulled the plug. But, you know, they have these big scaffolds going mm-hmm. up and, you know, a lightning storm was coming. And
yeah.
Hey, those are like, you know,
Let
me hit that. That's killing a lot of people. So we had to be careful, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an honor to DJ in Central Park. That was my first time DJing in that park.
That's
and I grew
awesome.
Up going to many, many concerts there. Saw mm-hmm. everybody there. And, you know, it was amazing. You know, Funk Flex is a legend as a DJ. Of course, you know, I've done events with GZA before, but still, it was great, and his live band was amazing. The Funky Nomads.
Yep, they were great too. Yeah,
and it was great. Their drummer Ramsey Jones is ODB's older brother.
Mm.
He's a really good guy. Old Dirty Bass from Wu-Tang.
Mm-hmm.
And then the keyboard player, Entrified, is Grandmaster Bill McLeod, the Jiu-Jitsu Grandmaster, his son.
Wow.
So it was like a lot of. So I have like connections to that band. It's like, you know.
Yeah, so much association. And we're gonna and that's awesome. And it was great to see. And it's still an amazing energy regardless, you know, and right. So happy to be able to go to that. I mean, coming out of, you know, again, this pandemic and going to a concert that was open and free and lively and wonderful and, you know, with great people was awesome.
Yeah.
So
shout out to JBL and Universal Attractions, my agency.
Mm.
John Moskowitz, what up, bro?
Hey. All right. And so. And
Ben and Jerry's, too. Ben and Jerry's.
Who is it?
There. I like Ben and Jerry's. You know, the ice cream, they had the truck.
Mm.
I don't know if you noticed.
Were you there? I know we caught each other when you were eating and then not.
Yeah, the Colin Kaepernick ice cream.
Yes. I was like up on the front dancing. My husband and I were trying to catch as much as we could. But okay. Yeah. So with this being said, and with all your associations with the hip hop community here in New York City, let's start from the beginning, Jay. Let's find out how you became DJ Jay Ronan and, you know, and what your background is and what inspired you to get into the music. That's a lot of questions, right. But.
Okay. You know, I grew up in a brownstone in Flatbush, more of a middle-class background. My family are secular Jews. We're not religious. Mm-hmm. But I did have a bar mitzvah more so to make my grandmother happy and learn a little more about my background. And hip-hop as a little kid was everywhere. People had cardboard on the ground. They were breakdancing, b-boying. Graffiti was everywhere. The trains were covered in these beautiful pieces. There were also a lot of terrible graffiti all over the trains too. But it was a lot of great art. And, you know, boom boxes were everywhere. It was, you couldn't escape from it. And I remember just cars driving by, playing all kinds of amazing music. You know, early as a kid, I loved Run DMC and the Fat Boys as a little kid. Mm-hmm. And my babysitter, Edna, rest in peace, took me to park jams as a little kid in the 80s.
Wow.
And I saw Run DMC perform. I saw Cold Crush Brothers as a little kid. You know, maybe he's still in diapers. I'm not sure.
But, so you remember that. Parks have a big, you know, meaning to you then. That's cool.
Well, hip hop started started pretty much in the parks and park jams, you know, stealing power from a light. And, you know, that's a big thing in the hip hop culture. So it was just monumental for me seeing Jam Master Jay, rest in peace. He was a major influence on me. And then the mixtapes, people like Kid Capri and Doo-Wop and Tony Touch, seeing what they were doing, putting out mixtapes, and it made me want to do mixtapes. Mm-hmm. That's really what got me in the game, is doing mixtapes and having them sold by different mixtape spots and record stores all over the city, and getting contacts to ship them out all over the world, from Tokyo to London to Paris, West Coast to South, Midwest. And, you know, I was DJing parties, house parties as a kid in high school. And I started setting up events in high school still. I was doing events with Dead Prez. And I was setting up punk rock shows. I was also active in the punk and hardcore scene here in New York. And booking bands like The Casualties and The Unseen from Boston, who are huge bands now. And, you know, just at 14, 15, being really active in music. And
wow.
Having that DIY attitude, do it yourself, you know, build your own record label, build your own business. And I got that from punk and hip hop. And just made me want to do my thing. And I remember going to college. I like to read. We were reading books in college that I read when I was, you know, 11 and 12 years old. I'm like, this is too easy for me. I don't care. I'm not learning much. Technology is changing. Social media is becoming a thing. MySpace was starting. So you know what? Let me get in the music industry full time and hop on this technology wave early and use social media to my advantage. And it worked.
Wow.
And pretty soon after that, I was doing mixtapes and getting write-ups in magazines, and the Africans were bootlegging my stuff heavy.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful, because to me, I read an article with 50 Cent talking about it. He said, look at the bootleggers as your promo team. They're bootlegging your stuff, but your artwork is still on the CD with your contact information. Your name is still getting out there. So you're basically the free promo for you. You know, and I looked at it like that. I would give them the CDs. Here, go ahead, bootleg it. Get it out there. I don't care. And, you know, my friends would get mad, like, oh, I saw a bootleg of yours on Canal Street. I saw your bootleg of yours in Atlanta or Tokyo or wherever. And I don't care. It's promo for me.
Now, when you say bootleg, can you define it like a bootleg of your mixtape?
I would have my artwork made. I would have my mixtape made, and I have my home studio, and rappers would come and do freestyles. Over commercially released beats. And I'd also put songs together where I'd get beats from different producers I was working with. and make original songs, have singers on the hooks, and different artists, all kinds of people from Boot Camp and Wu-Tang and MOP and Brand Newbie and all kinds of people coming over. And
that's crazy.
I can't remember just networking, going to a lot of hip hop shows and parties, getting cool with everybody and booking them for shows and booking, you know, getting them feature verse money. And so I make these mixtapes and I would get the artwork printed up and I put it in slim jewel cases and I burn up my own CDs. And then I would take them around to different spots. I sold them. And this is before streaming audio, streaming media, you know, before Tidal and Spotify and Apple Music and all.
This is, we would burn the music into our CDs, right? And make those tapes.
I would have them
from your beats.
I'd press up thousands though. And I would send out, you know, boxes of 200 to the Bay Area, or sometimes 1,000 to like Rasputin's in the Bay or whatever. And just take, and there's certain stores in New York would take 200 at a time, 100 at a time, 50 at a time. But some of these people would also then not call me, hey, Jay Ronan, I need more of this CD or that CD. They burn it up themselves. And I wouldn't make any money off it. So that was them bootlegging it.
Okay.
I didn't really care because it was promo for me. And many people have bootlegs of my CDs and love them. And wherever I go, like, oh, Jay Ronan, oh, you are a legend in France. So I'm like, really? Okay, cool.
That's awesome.
You know, you meet fans of yours around the world who have your CDs.
That's amazing.
And they might have had the bootleg, might have had the original. I don't care. As long as they...
they know your name.
And yeah, I wanted to be a tastemaker. I wanted to... my mixtapes was kind of street, but lyrical and conscious artists who weren't necessarily getting the love from the mixtapes and other mixtape DJs and other radio shows. So I tried to, you know, I'd have people like Killer Priest and Hellraiser from Wu-Tang and Price and Shabam Sadiq, Raz Kaz. And they weren't necessarily on a lot of mixtapes at that time. And it's just artists that I love that I wanted to put on a pedestal and have them shine in every way, you know?
That's amazing.
To the streets who they didn't necessarily know about the underground that I was into. So just kind of, and then trying to bring different hip hop scenes together and like I would do a posse cut where I have like a Wu-Tang guy like Capadonna, Reef the Lost Cause from Philly, then Mr. Fab from Oakland, you know, who's big in the Bay Area. And then like Sha Stimuli, all on a record together. And he was big like on the blogs and the websites at that time. Just different corners of hip hop, bringing them all together, you know?
That's crazy. Oh my God, Jay, you dropped so much info right here. You dropped so many names, so much good stuff that my head's like spinning. But okay, I mean,
your husband's like,
he's probably like, oh my gosh, really? Like, he's not here in the room, but once he hears this, he's gonna be like, oh my God. Okay, so I know you dropped a lot of big names there, you know, a lot of names that are more so underground. You know, we'll talk about what's underground, what's mainstream in a second, right. But you also, you know, talked about how you started, but let's dial it back. Where does your name DJ Jay Ronan come from? And then let's dive into from there, you know, how you even got these people on your mixtape, right?
DJ, of course, is a disc jockey, someone who plays the music. So that's the title of what you do. The J is for Jonathan. That's my first name. And Ronin is Japanese for a masterless samurai. So a samurai who is traditionally they'd have a lord who they would serve. You know, and as a kid, I didn't join any of the gangs in my neighborhood. And people would make jokes, oh, you're a Ronin, you're a little Ronin warrior. And I was really into martial arts and reading and watching the movies and Japanese anime. So it was kind of like a derogatory term. Oh, you think you're a little Ronin or something? And it stuck and it became a nickname of mine among certain people. And I embraced it. And I read a lot of, I watched a lot of samurai movies about different Ronin, like Akira Kurosawa movies, starring Toshirô Mifune, like Yojimbo, Sanjiro, the Seven Samurai, and then the Baby Car Assassin series, which I loved as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I read the whole manga, Lone Wolf and Cub. I actually have a tattoo of Lone Wolf and Cub, Ogamo Ito.
Wow.
On his back, Daigoro, and it says Ronin.
You are committed. I love it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I got a little suntan.
So Ronin stems from like a big culture of, you know, the martial arts world. And
right.
I mean, it's
particularly samurai. It's a masterless samurai. Mm. Now, in the martial arts world, I have teachers who are masters and grandmasters, but they're not the master of me. I'm not like, oh, yeah, so wherever you want, I'm still. Basically, it means I'm very independent and a little headstrong sometimes.
Yeah,
but
I love the history.
I learn new things every day. I'm not, you know, people think, oh, you think you know everything, Ronin? No. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I love that there's a history there, you know, between hip hop and martial arts that you intertwined into making who you are today. So that's really cool. You know, that's a real essence of who you are as an individual.
And that's a goal of mine, to bring hip hop and martial arts more together, actually.
Okay.
I'm developing a YouTube series called Rolling with Ronin. Mm-hmm, Rolling with Ronin. Yeah. Being a little tongue-tied.
Rolling with Ronin. There you go.
Right. Rolling with Ronin.
Yeah.
And it's about my health journey, losing weight, getting in better shape, training, and meeting different grandmasters and masters of different kinds of martial arts, and interviewing them about their life and how martial arts can help people. Because we have a lot of hip hop artists who are dying from, you know, alcoholism, drug addiction, you know, poor nutrition, you know, dying from diabetes, like Biz Markie. Sadly, DMX, you know, had drug addiction. MF Doom had health problems. Rest in peace to all these guys. And so many more people I know have drug problems. And it hurts me to see artists I grew up, you know, listening to have you know, cocaine addiction, or you know, alcoholic or whatever.
Right.
And you know, I'm trying to get everybody to train and in the hip hop community, even the older artists who are in their 40s and 50s, train.
Yeah.
Get your anger out. It'll help you with your depression. It'll make you not want to drink and do drugs. I mean, you know, drinking in moderation is cool, you know, whatever. A weed in moderation is fine. It's the hard stuff that I'm, you know, and just, you know, trying to encourage people to eat better. And yes, I know I'm a big guy. I know I'm overweight, but I lost 12, 13 pounds. I'm going back down. I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
And it's inspiring to see, you know, people like, hey, if this fat DJ guy could do it, I could do it too. You know, so that's my goal is you know, encouraging artists and young kids who are into the culture, and younger artists who are maybe popping pills and more into gang banging. That's why I salute people like Snoop Dogg, who did the Guns Down, Gloves Up initiative, where he has rappers and gangster rappers and gang bangers get in the ring and box and get paid to do it.
Yeah,
they're getting good money to box. You know, shout out to Gonzo. And he you know, he boxed not too long ago. And it was on pay-per-view. You know, it's cool. Like, just,
so,
you know,
get into the dojo instead of drugs and, you know, and all those other things. It is a dojo, right, that you kind of go into for martial arts?
That's the name of it in Japanese. And Korean is dojang. I forgot the name in Chinese, but yeah.
Amazing. And I appreciate you doing that and kind of, you know, intertwining both of those. I want to know, you know, I feel like I've read somewhere, did my research a little, like your start kind of came from association with the Wu-Tang, right? Is there a story there, or how did it start? And then how did you get all these people on your mixtapes? Like, let's hear that.
It didn't start with Wu-Tang, but they definitely helped me. Brothers like Prodigal Son and Killer Priest from Sons of Man and Inspector Deck and Capadonna. I was already DJing parties and doing some camera work and setting up events from 14. So I didn't meet Wu-Tang until I was in my early 20s. And then I was doing camera work, a little promo and marketing. and then also DJing. And I just, you know, people feel your spirit. They can feel who you are and what you're about. Mm-hmm. And I love Wu-Tang. I was already into hip hop and martial arts as a kid. So the way they use all the Kung Fu movie samples in their music and had references to martial arts, I loved it. Mm-hmm. You know? So I was like, yes, this is what I'm waiting for. Ah. And that same movie, Shogun Assassin, which is an edit of the first two Baby Cart Assassin movies, the Lone Wolf and Cub movies, that was sampled heavily on Liquid Swords. That whole story, all those sound bites are all from that movie. Mm. You know, use the sword and you will live. Choose the ball and you will join your mother.
Oh, my heaven. Gosh. Okay.
And all that stuff is from that movie that I grew up on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was already going to a lot of events and I knew certain underground rappers already. And like Dead Prez and Stronghold Crew, Poison Pen, and Immortal Technique, and people like that.
These are all East Coast, right?
Yeah. These are all like New York artists. And I was going to like 15 events in a week, hip hop shows and parties and networking. I heard that saying, your network is your net worth.
Beautiful.
And you got a network. And I'm going to show something real quick. Mm-hmm. Just in my phone. And I lost all my contacts a few years back.
Okay.
Actually, it's like several years now. But if you look at the contacts in my phone, how many?
Oh my God, like 5,000?
Right.
Oh, wow.
So that's networking. You know, wherever city I go to, I know a promo marketing guy. I know who's DJing, who's doing the clubs, a promoter, artist, a studio, a dojo to train at.
Wow. That is a big Rolodex.
At a network.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that has 5,000 numbers in their phone.
I don't even know how many I have, but no one has that. And now, like, you know, it's crazy. Like, I see you networking because, like, when we met, like, we exchanged kind of numbers too. We texted for like a second. And I was just like, nice to meet you. Or maybe you gave me your Instagram handle because, like, I was running off. Yeah. That's what we traded.
Right.
And I wonder if you're like there and you're putting Lost Girl on the subway. Deer in the headlights has a podcast. That's what you put. I want to know.
I didn't do that, but sometimes I put little notes like who I know them through or what they do, like, you know, podcaster or MC or a graph art writer or painter or, you know, whatever. I do put notes.
Okay. That's crazy. Okay. So you have been meeting people long before Wu-Tang. You clicked with Wu-Tang,
They helped me a lot. I interviewed them and just got cool with them and was training in martial arts with some of them.
Oh, wow.
And it just worked, and I worked a lot with them. But I always worked with a lot of artists from that scene, and I always felt like, I'm affiliated with Wu-Tang, and I was signed as a Wu-Tang DJ. I was on Wu-Tang Radio, and you know, I toured with certain people in the clan and affiliates. But I always knew you can't put all your eggs in one basket. So I worked with a lot of artists on the West Coast, Planet Asia and Razzcast. Planet Asia, he's originally from Fresno, but he lives in LA. And Razzcast, of course, from LA, who worked with Dr. Dre and everybody. I knew him through Killer Priest, because Killer Priest had a group. Killer Priest from Wu-Tang had a group, a super group with him, Corrupt from the Dog Pound, Razzcast, and Cannabis, called The Horseman. That album actually, the album is like 20 years in the making, finally came out recently.
Like now?
Finally came out. Yeah, shout out to M80.
Oh my gosh.
Helped put it together.
That is long crazy. You are dropping so many names that I'm sure a lot of the hip hop community knows. And I know some of them, but some people are probably like, I'm going to have to do some Googling
Might know.
Huh?
He was on, Corrupt was on,
of course,
hip hop.
Okay, so while we're talking artists,
Boot Camp. I think Love Bootcamp, some reality show recently.
Yeah. What we're talking about is like define, you know, underground hip hop versus mainstream. Like, what do you consider underground versus mainstream, like hip hop?
Well, some people consider it being people who are only signed to independent, smaller labels, and then people on major labels are mainstream. But that's not really true. It's because you have artists who are on mainstream labels who are never mainstream per se. They might have had mainstream looks like Gangstar, Dilated Peoples. Mm-hmm. They even Nas, he's not really a mainstream. I mean, he has big records here and there.
When you said people, that, I was thinking Nas.
Right. They're true to their art. And they might be on a major label, but they're not bubblegum fluff. Mm. You know, it's still got a true to the essence hip hop.
Okay.
Still got a little bit of grit to it.
Love that. You know? Yeah. No, and I think you said that well. You said you kind of identified that well, so that makes sense. And so you mentioned your Rolling with Ronan and mm-hmm. you know, your DJ career, how that started. Let's talk about All Elements, you know, and then All Elements TV, and then how that rolls into your you know, the J Ronan podcast, where you're interviewing, you know, people in the industry. Let's kind of shed some light on that.
Sure. Well, All Elements is a crew I started in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. They not just hip hop crew. People think All Elements, they think the four elements of hip hop, emceeing, rapping, breakdancing, b-boying, DJing.
There's five, is there not? There is five.
Four or five could also be beatboxing, knowledge, fashion. There's other.
I was going to ask you this question, a little quiz, and you already said it. Like, let me see. It's let's see. So, like you said, it's emceeing, DJing, breakdancing, graffiti, and beatboxing. So, I think that's five.
But also knowledge and fashion is all, you know, there's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, All Elements meant music, hip hop culture, but also martial arts, political activism, giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. A lot of us speak to kids and high school kids and try to do mentoring programs and get kids internships if we can. You know, I volunteered for years at a summer youth program, which will restart hopefully by next year.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
And teaching music appreciation and helping to teach martial arts. And yeah, I love working with kids and just giving back. So the form like that, it was rappers and DJs and graffiti writers and activists and martial artists and all kinds of people. You know, it's just a family.
So it's a network, it's a community, all elements, you know, but it's also, it's like a studio. It's like a DJ.
Oh yeah, I have a recording studio. Mm-hmm. All Elements TV is the channel, the YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we have All Elements Radio, which has been in different incarnations over the years. But currently it's on Delicious Vinyl Radio, which is on the Dash Radio app.
Yeah.
Shout out to Black Peak Entertainment. They help run that station.
Okay.
In Richmond, me out in San Diego, California.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we're on Dash Radio.
That's
and
crazy. You have so Dash much.
Is like coming up. They're on the Roku. It's a free app on your phone.
Definitely.
It's free. Snoop Dogg has a channel on there.
Mm.
Be Real from Cypress Hill is a channel on there. A lot of big celebs have channels on Dash Radio. It's really they're really coming up.
Amazing. So people can find All Elements on Dash Radio.
Yeah. Yep. I'm on Dash Radio every Wednesday night,
mm-hmm.
9 to 11 mm-hmm. Eastern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's 6 to 8 Western
mm-hmm.
Pacific time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Oh my gosh. I'm going to be tuning in. That's great to know.
I love, you know, interviewing people for that.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what I do is I film the interview and then the unedited interview I put on my J Ronan podcast on All Elements TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I put an edited version on the radio show where I edit it for time. And I put like instrumentals in the background.
Yeah.
And then I'll chop it up. And like if it's a rapper or a producer, I'll play some of their songs in between and, you know, like little 15 minute segments and play a few songs. And
that's cool. That's
but the podcast is just straight.
The raw footage. Right. All right, cool. But I've seen it and it's really good interviews. Yeah. It's like, you know, you and the person you're speaking with, you've had a lot of, you know, artists from the past, like from the 90s, right. The 2000s, from like new artists on today. And you're kind of like, like kind of what we're doing here. You're hearing their stories and you know, introducing right. them. That's cool.
And I have so many people lined up, so many legends. and they're coming out the woodwork. They're hitting me up, like, hey.
Yep.
Like, I got a call to interview Corrupt from Dog Pound. And oh, that's
what?
I'm looking forward to that. So many people. I don't want to name any names until after I do the interviews,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I feel like that kind of jinxes it.
Yeah, that's crazy. But, that's exciting.
You know, it's doing well. Some of them have like 30,000, 35,000 views. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. It's not still building.
Yeah. So is this only a YouTube channel? I mean, or can people catch, you know, the Jay Ronan podcast on like Apple Podcasts, Spotify? Like, tell us where.
I put out one episode, the audio only, mm-hmm. on all those podcasts platforms.
Uh-huh.
So that's the first one with the Cool Keith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to upload the rest. I just need to do it.
Okay.
I think I'm just going to go and put up like 10 more.
Right now, your YouTube is the number one source to kind of catch the video and the audio. All right, and right. We can expect a future.
Right. Well, you know what? I'm gonna put them all out on the mm-hmm. on all the other platforms. Just it's hard to get paid off YouTube nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have been had the 1,000 subscribers,
mm-hmm.
but they want you to have 4,000 hours watched per year.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost 250,000 minutes watched.
Wow,
that's a lot. You have to be really, really popular.
That's crazy. I mean, yeah, I haven't even delved into the YouTube world, so I can't imagine. I mean, hearing the truth here from you, but I mean, I know it is a good search engine for those looking for certain things and artists.
Right,
it's like the second most searched engine on top of Google. So, you know, being on YouTube is still, very good to have, which I need to do. But thank you for sharing.
What platform is this going to be on?
Yeah, so this is going to be on everything podcast related, like it's only audio, and I'm doing video.
No video.
So I'm doing video with you right now with the intention of creating a YouTube channel, but I don't know. So that's why I'm experimenting.
It's easy. Yeah, it's great.
So much like a podcast itself takes so much work. I'm sure, you know, you're an editor, you're putting lot of stuff out. I have like the 9 to 5, like doing so many social channels, it just takes away from, you know, but that's why I'm experimenting. And so, you know, people might see this.
Yeah,
for sure. Expect it. But so thank you for, you know, sharing everything about, again, all the multiple things you're doing, you're multi-talented self in various areas. You know, now is there anything here with regards to, like, I could talk about your career, like, forevermore, but is there anything here that I may have missed you want to, like, shout out, promote, anything?
Yeah. A few things. Mm-hmm. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at jronin82, mm-hmm. jronin82. And make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/allelementstv mm-hmm. online. youtube.com/allelementstv online.
Perfect.
And then we have, you know, we have other things under that, the Rolling with Ronan brand. That's on Instagram, All Elements Music Group.
Mm-hmm.
That's via record label. We have a dope project out now from Frank Knight and Chuck LaWayne called Slim and Mickens. Really great album. Chuck did all the production and rapped on it a little bit. And then Frank's it's on it as well, doing majority of the rapping. But it's kind of like a modern day Pete Rock and CL Smooth or Gangstar, Guru and Premier. So I am really, really great project. That's out now. We have a lot of projects coming. Sav Kills, aka Jamel Rockwell. He did a whole project with Camouflage Monk, the producer from Griselda,
mm-hmm.
from Buffalo. That they're really big, doing great things right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming. Cool. My Freestyle Files Volume 3 is coming.
What is it called?
Freestyle Files Volume 3.
Mm.
That's when I have a whole bunch of legendary artists rap on jacked beats.
Wow.
So I'm putting that out. You know, the podcast is doing well. Rolling with Ronan is coming soon with the episodes. I already interviewed two amazing grandmasters in martial arts.
That's awesome.
One in jiu-jitsu, one in hapkido. Yeah.
Okay. And that's your focus, jiu-jitsu? Or,
yeah, but my style of jiu-jitsu incorporates karate, boxing, some Arnis, which is a Filipino martial arts as
mm-hmm,
well,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because the roots of our family started from a Filipino man who was a World War II veteran who came to Flatbush, actually, and was teaching in the hood in Brooklyn. Grand Professor B. Florendo Vestacion. So he came out to Brooklyn and taught Grandmaster Moses Powell and Sookie Little John Davis, who will be on my my show. Mm-hmm, I already interviewed him. It's coming up. And, you know, my professor, Dominique Briochet, my teacher's a woman, and she's a tough lady.
Oh, wow.
But we know we love her.
I love a tough lady.
She performed the wedding ceremony for me and my wife, Oni.
Oh, wow.
She's also an ordained minister. Wow. She's a pretty amazing lady.
So she's your master?
She's my teacher.
Martial arts, the dojo, she's
right.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. I love that.
And we do Kumite Ryu Jiu-Jitsu, which has a long history and very, very New York style of jiu-jitsu. And it's more designed for self-defense in the streets, not really for sport.
Cool. So plug that in. If people want to, get involved with martial arts, specifically where you teach,
Well, I don't teach. I just help out.
Where you learn, what you love,
Yes, it's krjsos.com.
Okay.
Which is Kumite Ryu Jiu-Jitsu School of Survival, as it stands for, .com. But krjsos.com. You can learn more about the school. And my teacher also wrote a book about the system.
Wow.
And it's a lot to learn. It's a big curriculum. It's really multiple styles infused together. And you learn a lot from grappling to striking to weapon techniques and all kinds of self-defense stuff.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Wow, you shared so much, DJ J. Ronan. Let's say that one more time. That's his name. And multi-talented. What was that?
I'm trying to think of anything else I need to share.
I have, I know you just mentioned there that you do some, rapping and singing yourself, right? Like, you got your own.
I don't really rap. I might do a hook here and there for somebody. And I sang on a random country song.
Oh my gosh. Please send that.
It's terrible. Terrible. And,
country of so all bad. Things? I wasn't expecting that.
I'm also a member of Low Lives. Here's my Low Lives shirt.
Okay.
And that's a big fashion street organization in hip hop that started in Brooklyn. And I'm kind of the end of the second generation, beginning of the third in that world. But fashion is also a big part of what we do. And we have a lot of cultural events coming up, a lot of free barbecues for the people. We're, feeding people and great music and performances. A lot of stuff's coming
up. That's amazing. So, tune in with DJ J. Ronan. Figure out where he's going to be. He's always at the cool events, DJing, partying, being involved in the community, which everyone should be, kind of get out there. Right. Like you said, your network is your net worth. So build it, be humble, get out there. Just you were when meeting me and now being on my podcast and interviewing here, truly appreciative of that. Before I actually let you go, I do like to play this segment that is called a New York Minute. And it's where I'm just going to do a speed round of questions, and then you say the first thing that comes to your mind. It's all New York related because this is a very New York centric, podcast. So here we go. Sounding off. First question is favorite New York borough.
Brooklyn
in the house, of course. Okay, favorite New York neighborhood.
Flatbush.
Gotta say Flatbush. You can't say anything else.
Yeah.
Favorite season in New York?
For me, on a physical level, probably the fall and the winter. I like it cool. But as far as doing stuff, the summertime, because all the free park jams the yacht ride, the boat ride parties, all that, which is a big thing as well.
Favorite New York tourist destination?
Prospect Park and the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens and the Brooklyn Zoo and the Brooklyn Museum, all that area is right there.
With that being said, what's your favorite non-tourist destination, like a location that only you like, you really don't want people to know, but maybe you should just share? Something.
I mean, it's a little touristy, but I like the promenade in Brooklyn Heights. You just sit on a bench and then look at the water and the skyline.
Favorite holiday in the city?
The West Indian Parade.
Ooh, what's that?
A Labor Day. Elaborate costume, you know, the thing like, you know, like Rio type stuff.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Oh, you gotta come. It's like over 1 million people in the street.
What's it called again?
Labor Day weekend, Caribbean. I think it's the West Indian Festival is the official name, but I love that.
Okay. Favorite New York subway line?
That would be the original D train line, which is now the Q.
Okay.
After 9/11, it got all switched around.
Okay. I have to ask hip hop, what's a song or a couple of them? Name three that you think represent New York hip hop.
Ooh, Nas, New York State of Mind. Wu-Tang, Cream, Cash Was Everything Around Me. Eric B and Rakim Paid in Full.
This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hand. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I the default, but still coming up with lead. So I start my mission.
Marley Marr presents the Juice Crew, the Symphony with Kool G Rap, Big Daddy Kane, Craig G, and Master Ace.
Amen. I mean, you named some good ones there. I definitely know most of those. And, you know, definitely Eric B. Rock.
I know all of them. You know that Marley Marr song. Dun, 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 the piano, dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I believe that's me. Craig G, me. Get on the mic for the symphony. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but it got to be funky. It got to be funky if you're going to be on it. I don't care who start, I don't care what y'all do, but you got to be finished before the music is through.
Now, who's worth up to bat?
Listen closely, so your attention's undivided. Many in the past have tried to do what I did. It's just the way I came off then, I'm gonna come on. Stronger and longer, even with the trouble. I keep on going and flowing just like a river. I got a whole lot to give, so I'm a giver.
Yeah.
You know, you hear it, you know it.
Yeah, perfect. And so then one word to describe New York City?
Originators. It all started here.
That's where it all started. And your number one tip on how to live.
I already said before, punk rock started in New York. Hip hop started in New York. Mm-hmm. So much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, were the Beastie Boys, they were like rap and punk, or what were
they? Yeah. Well, they started off as a punk hardcore band and they became a hip hop group.
Yep. And they're Brooklynites, just like you. All right.
Yeah, I grew up on them. I love them.
They're one of the OGs for sure, I think. Like the 90s, you know, the golden age. That's the
80s.
The 80s? Yeah. Wow, okay.
Yeah, in the 80s originally, yeah.
That's crazy. Okay, and so the last question here, DJ J Ronan, and you know, I've appreciated everything.
You ask me a million more, I don't mind. I'm having fun.
Thank you, but I've taken your time over an hour and a half. Number one tip on how one can live their best and most authentic life in New York City.
Explore, see it all. You know, check out every borough, even Staten Island. Take the ferry, explore. Check out the museums, the parks, the music, the art, the culture. Just don't stay in your one little area. Travel everywhere and enjoy all the richness the city has to offer, you know? I know people who sadly have never left their area of Brooklyn, never even been to Manhattan. You know, don't be like that. Explore, have fun, and be safe doing it. Wear your mask, which is a lot of people around, you know.
Beautifully, beautifully ended and said. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. And your full name, so people know, is Jonathan Marvin. But he's known as DJ J Ronan, and we all know where Ronan came from now, and we're so grateful to have you and hear your New York story. So thank you
so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to Gossipista. Your support means the world. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please be sure to hit the subscribe button and share this podcast with your friends. Can't wait till next week's episode? Follow along on Instagram at Gossipista to get my latest New York happenings. But if you live and breathe New York City like I do and want even more, go to our website at gossipnista.com, explore, and subscribe to our newsletter to get insider tips first. Lastly, if you have any questions and or scoop on the city, you can email me at gossipnista@gmail.com. Until next time, you know you love me. XOXO, Gossipnista.